Today on the Callahan Podcast, well, we talk about the effects of tequila on American icons. two guys, Bruce Springsteen, he said he did one shot of tequila and then he rode his motorcycle recklessly and he's in trouble. On the other hand, Tom Brady overdid it, a little too much of avocado tequila, couldn't walk but didn't drive because Tom Brady, as we know, does everything right. We'll get into all that. Plus, Mark Cuban, the dumbest billionaire in America today, thought he was going to be social justice warrior and eliminate the anthem. But Adam Silver said, we'll have none of that. Start playing the anthem again at Dallas Mavericks game. We'll talk about that with Joe Kinsey from Outkick. And our friend Turtle Boy is back, and we'll get into his struggles. He took a little mental health break, but he's back. We will hear his story today on the Callahan Podcast, brought to you by DCU. Do you love your car but hate your car payment? No problem. Refinance your car today with DCU, and they can help lower your monthly payment, lower your interest rate, or both. Applying is easy, and their loan experts will help you find the loan term and the payment that fits into your budget. Get out of that high-rate loan and get the interest rate and the payment you deserve from DCU. Learn more and apply today at dcu.org/refinance. Insured by NCUA. Membership required. All right, Callahan, let's go.
This is the Jerry Callahan Podcast.
All right, among other things today, we've got a few things to get to, but first we're going to discuss two great American icons and tequila and their experience with a little tequila. Yesterday, that's kind of what owned the day yesterday was... Two guys, I mean, let's be honest, they are larger than life. They are huge, huge, huge stars. One is a dour old man who hates America. Great, great musician, songwriter, singer, guitar player. I love his music, hate his politics. Bruce Springsteen, I think it was 2 months ago that he got busted, 3 months ago that he got busted for drunk driving DUI in New Jersey. And the other was Tom Brady, another American icon, was smarter than Bruce Springsteen. But then again, Tom Brady's smarter than anybody. He just always does the right thing. He got a little rubber-legged at the boat parade and was getting mocked relentlessly on Twitter and played along. Had a little goofy tweet where he said it was the avocado tequila. So they both guys, Brady and Bruce, apparently love their tequila. One of them was smart enough to get a ride home. I mean, he drove his own boat. As Dave Cullinane predicted, he was behind the wheel of his own boat.
Yeah.
But he was not behind the wheel of his own car, so he could go home and laugh about it. Bruce Springsteen, on the other hand, we now find out was on a motorcycle. And the big question today to me, and obviously all you can do is take your hat off, salute Tom Brady. He just has so much fun. He just does everything right. This was his reward. He's in Florida now. He doesn't have to sit on a duck boat and freeze his ass off. He can literally be out on the water, having a blast, throwing the Lombardi Trophy, getting wasted, stumbling home, and then tweeting about it. And everybody can have a good laugh. Bruce, on the other hand, he's got some explaining to do. And I got some we got to try to figure this out. We really do. Maybe we'll get all the facts. Maybe we'll see the police report. But right now, Bruce is saying, or I shouldn't say Bruce, the story is, the New York Post has it, the Daily Mail, that Bruce blew a .02. He did one shot of tequila. That's the story, with some fans. He was on his motorcycle. Some fans said, hello, pull over, gave him a shot. The cops saw this, pulled him over, and busted him. Now, I'm going to say, you got a lot of experience with this Turtle Boy. And by the way, Turtle Boy is here, and we're going to talk about his experience, his recent mental health break. I'm looking forward to that, but I got to get some answers. This is bugging me. I got to get some answers. Turtle Boy, you have experience in this area. If someone gets arrested for drunk driving with a .02, what does that mean?
I didn't think you could get it. I thought 0.08 was the legal limit.
It is.
So how can you be arrested for, I don't understand.
That's the question I was asking of you, but I tweeted about it. So lots of people were tweeting back at me and I was reading everybody's take on this. And my former partner and sometimes friend who's was with me the last time we spent a lot of time talking about mental health issues with famous media people, that guy is defending Springsteen, of course. Others were, but I said he must have been a dick to the cops. You know, they, somehow, if they're going to arrest you for that, you had to do something to piss them off. That was my theory just off the top of my head. I got a lot of people who said, you're missing it. When you get arrested for that, that means there's something else involved. And I'm like, what? And they said, look at Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods blew a 0.0 in the video of him stumbling around, slurring his words. He didn't even know where he was going. I watched it last night. The video of Tiger when he got busted for impaired driving is unbelievable. He's so lucky he didn't kill anybody, but he didn't drink, had no drinks. It was all, I don't know, oxycodone or Percocets or whatever. He was popping pills and driving impaired. Could that be a possibility? I don't want to, you know, jump to any conclusions, but he got.
It sounds silly right now. Like if you read the New York Post, to your point, that he took a shot with a couple of dummies on the side of the road, which is probably not the best idea if you're Bruce Springsteen, which makes me think he was impaired to stop on the side of the road just because people waved to him and wanted to take a picture. So
keep his buzz. But if you blow a 0.02, they took blood, I believe, right? But we don't know the results.
Well, I was going to ask you, because I don't know the thing. How did the Tiger thing play out? How did they know he was on, whether it be oxys or whatever? A blood test?
It's a good, yeah, I believe.
Isn't there a police report? Isn't there a police report for this?
Yes, but we haven't seen the Bruce Springsteen police report. That's what I want to know.
What night did it happen?
November, I don't know, November something.
Oh, yeah. The hell? And it's just coming out now?
Yes.
Yeah, I know you've been busy.
It's got to be a conservative. I bet you it's a conservative. Somebody that, a Brandy Love fan, maybe. Because you know that's why Brandy Love blocked your old partner, was because of his affinity for Bruce Springsteen.
No.
Was that yeah, why? No. Look it up. There was no explanation.
I'm a better person. I can separate the two. I can listen to Bruce's music and hate his politics. No problem.
Brandy Love can't. She's insane.
I can listen to his music. If you don't listen to people's music, people who you disagree with politically, then you're left with Ted Nugent and Kid Rock and Lee Greenwood.
And no football. And no NFL.
That's, to me, that's not enough. Most of the guys I really like, musicians, singers, bands, are liberal. It's just part of life. Musicians are emotional. Songwriters are emotional. They don't always think, they feel. And that's what makes them liberal. That's why Bruce is a liberal. And he was a hippie as a kid and a draft dodger. So, you know, he grew up liberal and he's still liberal, even though he's a billionaire. And so is, you know, most of the great, you know, rock bands or rock musicians. I've made my peace with that. I can like Bruce's music. I can love Bruce's music and know he's an idiot liberal. I can handle it. But I can also laugh at a guy, you know, who says, you know, Trump is a disgrace and all this, and he's out, you know, pounding tequila and riding around his motorcycle. We need more. What I want to know is, how was it covered up for 3 months? And what does it say in the police report? How do you get arrested with a 0.02? I thought Turtle Boy would have some theories because he's so experienced in, you know, police reports. But do you ever get a case like a drunk driving where you can't get your hands on the police report for some reason?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes the police departments will say, like, it's an ongoing investigation. That's their favorite way to deny you a police report. We're still investigating. Well, what are you still investigating? You got arrested for DUI. You have all the evidence. That's the thing that they often use to keep you from getting it.
Well, I said,
I've read a lot of the stories, and it just keeps saying sources, right? So we haven't seen the police report. Does part of you just not agree that he was charged with DWI? He was probably charged with being an asshole by taking a shot on wherever on the land that he was in. He was in a park or some shit, right?
Yes, he was in a federal park, state park, and the Daily Mail today has the very thorough thing. They got maps and pictures of the beach and the trail and the road and where he was. But if a cop sees you and you do one shot and you're not drunk and you're not impaired, they're really going to bust you? I mean, and on top of that, they're going to bust you if you're Bruce Springsteen?
I swear to God, I'm not even being sarcastic. Like, I honestly bet it was political. There's a lot of conservative cops. He's an outspoken liberal. And they're like, you know what, Lib? I'll show you.
Yeah, but he's such an icon. I feel like he's above that, where they would say, oh, it's Bruce Springsteen. You know, and then they take a breathalyzer and he's 0.02. They say, you know, see you later, Mr. Springsteen. You know, sorry for your troubles here, and go, you know, drive carefully. You don't bust a guy with a 0.02 and charge him with drunk driving. Unless
sounds like it's also pretty easy to get off. Like, it's not going to stick if he has a 0.02.
Well, no. See, I wonder if the accurate because it's not official, right? It's not, as far as we know, it's not the official
correct
police report. You know, it's that. And B, as my theory, like, how did he handle it? I mean, if you're, you know how this works. If you're polite, if you're nice, if you call them sir, if you apologize for, you know, to them for whatever trouble you put, they're more likely to show you some mercy. But if you're a dick, they're not going to do that. Maybe he was, but I'd love to see the police report.
Well, doesn't the delay in finding this out in general probably means he handled it the right way? I would assume, right? He handled it the right way, and then through whether it's some just a random source who decided, to your point, whether it's political beliefs or something else, or they stumbled upon it. It feels like they were trying to keep it under wraps for quite some time.
You know, I do this all the time, and so do you, Turtle Boy. You Google something, and Google is so corrupt. I Google it, and I'm looking for the Daily Mail or the New York Post story, and all you get is People Magazine, New York Times, LA Times, YouTube, CNN. Oh, another CNN. I mean, they shadow ban, or whatever the term is, any conservative outlet. I was hoping to read the New York Post, but I guess you got to add the term New York Post if you want to read the New York Post after Googling something. That's neither here nor there. But hopefully we find out more. Hopefully there is some details. Hopefully we could see the police report. I know we'd be able to see it if it were me or you or Dave. We all, if we got arrested, they wouldn't be hiding it from the public. I found it interesting that they waited till after the Super Bowl. The most talked about commercial was Bruce's 2-minute slog through the Kansas wilderness in his Jeep, in his, you know, going to church and lighting a candle and wearing a cowboy hat. Oh, absolutely ridiculous commercial. But they waited till after that aired. He made a ridiculous amount of money for that. We were talking about the other day, guessing between, you know, $5 and $10 million for 2 days work in Kansas and reading a poem or whatever the hell he read. That they wait for that to be over. A lot of buzz, a lot of talk about Bruce, and then boom, 2 days later, drunk driving, and now Jeep has taken the commercial, pulled it. It's not on their website. It's not on YouTube. You can't find the commercial. If he just had a .02 and one shot of tequila, I don't think that's any reason to purge the commercial. But if there's more to it, if he was a dick to the cops or if he was on drugs, this is going to be a big, big deal. Because, you know, he's a kind of a sanctimonious guy. He hates conservative. He hates Trump. You know, he hates, you know, half the country. He hates the rubes in middle America. You know, those people in the middle in Kansas, those aren't his people.
His music has made money off of those people. Like his music,
of course,
like a lot of his song. I mean, Born in the USA, right? I mean, like that, who do you think's that? I mean, obviously that's an anti-war song, but who did that song appeal to?
It's an anti-war song that Reagan wanted to use, but he wouldn't let him in his campaign appearances. I mean, he has a song called 41 Shots. Yeah. It's about the unarmed, I forget the name of the individual. The police in New York shot him 41 times. They thought he was reaching for
Amadou Yala, the guy with the wallet. Yeah.
Yes. And it's an anti-cop thing. And one of his best songs is the Tom Joad, where he says, you know, somewhere's a cop beating a guy. I mean, he's a typical liberal, thinks cops are the bad guy in real life, but he's great. He's a great singer, great musician. Anyway, we'll find out more, hopefully.
Tom Joad was also a racist, Jerry, because it was 1930 Oklahoma. You think he had black people over his house for dinner? I don't think so.
Yeah, I think he was very supportive of transgender rights, pro-abortion. Yes, he was.
That's what the Okies, the Dust Bowl Okies, were very concerned with that. Like, not really so much like how am I going to eat or anything like that. It's, am I using the right pronouns?
Right. Tom Joad always made sure he used the right pronouns. I think he wanted people to call him they. That's what he did. But all right, so we'll find out more about that one icon, and thoughts and prayers to him and to my former partner and sometimes friend who's taking this hard. I mean, I think he's taking it harder than
he got involved, and he was like joke backing his guy, right? Like if he actually was driving while impaired, you can't defend it. So he's joking around, and now it's just a good look for him that he was defending him while it turns out to be a nothing story. Right. If this latest turns out to be true.
Oh, again, people are saying that he wasn't a dick to the cops. Do some research, Jerry.
Well, I mean, I'm reading. I got all the stories in front of me, at least all the stories in liberal publications. Which one would you like me to read that says it's all, it says cooperative, you know, the sources say it was cooperative. That's always what it says. Okay. You throw the question out to the turtle riders. How do you get arrested for drunk driving when you blow a .02? I want an answer. Let's get an answer.
And how do you not, like, a 16-year-old blows a .02. They're barely under arrest.
I literally would have said, like, hey, this is a great question to ask Turtle Boy if Turtle Boy wasn't here today. Turtle Boy's not bringing it to the table today.
I mean, look at it. I've been out of it. I'm not going to lie. Like, I've been out of it. I've been keeping up with Twitter.
Today's the day to call out Turtle Boy on his lack of...
Okay, so, like, usually I'm up to date on this stuff. Give me a break, will you?
No, we're talking about the actual police report, not the story.
Are you medicated right now, Turtle? Are you going to be okay?
I'll be okay.
Are you in a fog?
I am taking some medications.
Do you have your usual edge? Are you going to be contribute here today?
I mean, of course I'm going to contribute.
Okay. Hang on. Hold that thought. I got to talk about our new sponsor, GovX.com. That's GOVX.com. As we all know, uniformed professionals sign up to serve causes greater than themselves. If you've ever served in the military, law enforcement, firefighting, or frontline medical communities, you are eligible for free membership in GovX.com, the greatest online shopping site for Americans of service like you. Your job demands a lot from you, from deployments to long shifts and the dangerous situations most people don't have the courage to face. There's a reason why GovX believes service-minded patriots like you deserve special recognition. GovX.com delivers the deals on all the gear you need for your on- and off-duty life. Register at GovX for instant access to discounts on epic brands like Oakley, Yeti, Garmin, Vortex Optics, Benchmade, Danner, and more. The site was built exclusively for the men and women who serve our country and communities. That's why every month GovX supports nonprofits serving the military, first responder, or law enforcement communities. We don't just thank you for your service, we honor it. Signing up is fast and easy and totally free. Become a member today and use code Callahan for $15 off your first order of $50 or more. GovX.com, savings for those who serve. Who had more tequila, Bruce Springsteen or Tom Brady?
Tom Brady, easily.
Easily.
See, Cullinan, I can't speak for him, but that was like at 2 p.m. and he couldn't walk. That means you really overdid it. You know, it's a beautiful day. It's a celebration to me. And lots of people were tweeting at me saying, Brady, you know, he can drink. He's, you know, he famous for chugging beer in college and in his early days in the NFL. And there's stories of him winning guzzling contests against offensive linemen and all that. That was a long time ago. The guy I saw yesterday is very inexperienced. You don't end up in that shape at 2 p.m. unless you don't know what you're doing.
You're a lightweight completely. I mean, he doesn't drink anymore. He eats like he's the cleanest eater you'll ever meet in your life. And, you know, if anything, like the shit he's not getting, and you know what, he probably had like 5 handlers to take care of his family, but he's getting mangled with his daughter right next to him. And probably, I think his son was right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, but were they there when he was falling down drunk? I saw him holding the daughter. There's a story on cue, Deadspin, which is just it's almost like the Babylon Bee. It's almost like a parody of whatever left wing take you're going to get on any subject, any sports subject. It'll be whether it's, you know, Mark Cuban, which we'll get to, or Bruce or Tom Brady. Deadspin will be there with a tired left wing take. Show a picture of I know it used to be worth reading. Now it's
They used to have like Brett Favre's dick pics and Manti Te'o's story. Like, they used to have fun stuff. Yeah. Now they're just like totally not they just call people racist now, and they put out headlines about nonsense. They used to actually break stories. That was the foundation of Deadspin.
Now they're like, you know, just another Karen, just another you know, busy body, making sure everyone wears their mask and, you know, locks down and everyone's racist and everything's racist. It's just, it's awful. But anyway, I see it and I laugh because they got a picture of Brady with his daughter, Viv, and they say, wear a mask, Tom Brady. That's their take. He's outdoors at a parade with a child, and they think the take is wear a mask. I was so happy to see that nobody, I don't think anybody in the Tampa Bay Bucks boat parade had a mask on, as far as I could tell. I mean, some people, like Bruce Arians, probably should have been wearing a mask, but he was too busy drinking. And all the players on the boats that were crowded on the boats with their family, they were maskless and they were legless. And that pissed off a lot of people. But that's, isn't that what these parades have become? Just this day for excess and blowing off steam and celebrating. And yeah, this was a classic.
They are going to try, Jerry. I think they realize at this point that my guy and your guy, we both agree Ron DeSantis is the guy in 2024. Like he's Holly has the elect,
as far as I'm concerned.
Right, Holly has the taint of the insurrection. You know, everybody's got something. This guy is all he's doing is running the most dysfunctional state in the country in the most functional way possible, getting results. He's sharp. He's passing good, pushing good legislation. Florida is turning more red under him. They are going to try to destroy him for the next 4 years. And like, this is the start of it. Look what he's allowing during the Super Bowl. And guess what? Of course, you and I know that there will be no spikes from this. There will be no New York will continue to outpace Florida when it comes to COVID. Everybody knows that. But they will try to make it seem like it's worse than it is by like showing stuff like the Super Bowl.
Right. And then, you know, how dare they? Well, and we saw the Tampa mayor say they were going to take a video to the police and go and catch people who were outside without masks. Utterly absurd possibility. But then immediately, as usual, we'd see a picture of her without a mask because they're all hypocrites. None of them actually believe what they're saying, except DeSantis. DeSantis is asked why he wasn't wearing a mask. He says, how am I supposed to drink a beer?
I love that.
That was a great response. Now we have the Biden administration, which already, they've been there 3 weeks. They are the most spiteful, vindictive people. I mean, they wouldn't let the people in the Trump administration have like family leave or maternity leave. They denied them that just because they're Trumpkins. They're trying to stop Trump from getting typical routine briefings that ex-presidents get. And now, because DeSantis is a threat, because Florida is a threat. Florida is free America. You get to see what happens when people are free, and you compare it to these lockdown states, which are disasters like Massachusetts and New York and New Jersey. Because Florida is free and DeSantis is so good, they're now talking, and they're going to do it. They're talking about putting in restrictions on flights to and from Florida as if it were China. This is the same guy less than a year ago who said restricting flights, limiting flights from China was racist and xenophobic. And now he wants to do the same thing to Florida. One reason only, because DeSantis is doing such a great job, and people are, and every day they're proving the way they're doing it is right and the way the rest of them, or the lockdown states like New York, what they're doing is wrong and they hate it. So they're going to come up with some canard and say, oh, you know, they're not all masking or following social distance. Let's shut down Florida. That's the power of the federal government. As we know, they don't care about doing anything that works or helps the economy or helps the working people. They're busy shutting down pipelines and opening borders and raising the minimum wage and putting small businesses out of business. That's the goal. That's the mission of the Biden administration. But we can get to that. What Brady does unintentionally is troll the hell out of the people who hate him. He looks so happy. He looks like he's having so much fun. He looks like, as I always say, he does everything right. Cullinan was right for once. He took his own boat to the boat parade. His brand new $2 million, you know, bow rider took the family out in his own boat. And when he ever threw the Lombardi Trophy over the water to Cameron Brate, I'm thinking, I don't know if this goes through his head, but it's just one of those things he does to drive everybody nuts. Immediately people say, what is he doing? That's serious. You can't do that. And, you know, fortunately it didn't end up in the water, but it was just a little bit crazy. And I thought, he's doing these things to troll everybody. If he's not, it just happens naturally. With Trump gone, I don't think there's anybody in America who drives the Deadspins, the Boston Globes, you know, the ESPNs, the Max Kellermans, and all, drives these people as crazy as Tom Brady. They don't hate him as much as they hate Trump, but Trump's gone now.
There wasn't a lot of like feedback saying like he's an idiot for doing this, right? Like there wasn't he threw it and nobody was like going crazy about it.
Well, what are they going to say? What are they going to say? He caught it.
Yeah. You know what they want, Jerry? They want him to be Curt Schilling, but he's not. And so they really want Tom Brady to be associated with conservatism. And really all they have on him is that he's played golf with Trump and he had a MAGA hat in his locker. Like that's all that. And he's a rich white guy who the way he walked into the stadium too, not wearing a mask, has become like a political statement of sorts. Cause you saw, you know, the new generation, Pat Mahomes, God forbid he gets COVID, walking in with a full freaking, you look like Bane walking in there with color coordinated and shit. And that was kind of like the contrast, this, you know, new, young, you know, woke quarterback against Tom Brady, who just doesn't do politics. Like he's almost like the Michael Jordan of our time, because Michael Jordan didn't do politics either.
Right.
And he's kind of like the last of a dying breed that doesn't, like for a while, Drew Brees didn't do politics until they made him.
Until they cut his nuts off and made him apologize for loving this country, which we can get to that. But I think you make a great point. What they would love is they would love for Brady to say something, to just say, whether it's, you know, like Schilling did. Schilling went, they turned on him when he said, vote Bush. That was before Trump. Then he embraced Trump, and then he never stopped saying things that drove everyone nuts. But you're so right. They look at Brady, and they make these assumptions. We read that unbelievable Nancy Armour column in USA Today, where she just ripped them apart for being white and supporting Trump and being political, which he isn't. He's not political. He doesn't support Trump. He doesn't speak out at all, and that drives them nuts. They don't really have a lot to work with. They hate him because he's white, and he smiles, and he doesn't take a knee. He doesn't wear a mask. He just quietly, subtly drives them insane. And then again, you know, he just wins. He just wins and smiles and celebrates, and it drives them crazy. And I knew that would happen. I was looking for it yesterday when he was at the parade, no mask, drunk. His family was there. Kids were there. And then boom, on cue, dead spin. Tom Brady, wear a mask, mask up. And he's like, he's outside. He's with his family. He's healthy. They're kids. They don't, and they're all young. They're not really vulnerable. Why? You know, I was just shocked. They didn't say, why aren't you wearing two masks? Fauci says, wear two masks. Quietly, Brady is not submitting. And as we know, they hate that. We all must submit. You don't have to, it doesn't have to make any sense, but you must submit. You must do what you're told. And Brady doesn't do that. And it drives them crazy. And then again, when they were ready, I think some people would have given, if he ever, you know, drove, God knows, or, you know, even drove the boat after drinking, he might have been in some trouble, but he's too smart. He doesn't do that. He gets a ride home. And then immediately he or one of his social media people start tweeting, spelled some words wrong, you know, this and that, but he said it's the avocado tequila. And he made a big joke about it, and everyone had a good laugh. One more time, he just does everything right. They hope he will screw up, say something stupid, do something stupid like Springsteen, but he never, ever does. All right. Now, since you haven't been paying attention because you had your own issues, we can get, now that we're talking about icons, famous people, celebrities, and their screw-ups and how they handle them, now we move on to our friend Turtle Boy, who has not been here for a couple of weeks because he has some issues to work out in his own life. How long ago was it you announced that you were taking a mental health break?
Early last week.
So week 10 days or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really like fully back in the swing. Like I did one blog yesterday just to get my blood going, you know, get the juices flowing, get back. It's hard to get back into the routine, you know?
Okay, the question is, I know we'll get to it, so I might as well start. But this question is, do you think the job, the life, the blogging, the podcasting, the live shows you do, the life you live, does that contribute? We've talked about other people in the radio business, morning radio. I've been with people who have had mental health issues, more than one. And I think a lot of it, I shouldn't say a lot, I think the life doesn't help. The life you live, the intensity, you know, the competitiveness, the lack of sleep, all that contributes to the problem. Do you feel that way with the way you live your life?
Oh yeah. Like if I didn't have, I mean, I got stressed a little when I was teaching, but nothing like this. If I didn't have Turtle Boy, certainly a lot of these problems would not exist. Almost all of the problems would not exist. Certainly.
So but, you were a teacher. You'd be going on 11 months vacation right now. You'd be so relaxed.
That's true. It's true. And it was
stress at all.
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, it was a question like, is it worth it or does it contribute to this?
Does it contribute to?
Oh, of course. I mean, like, so there's a few causes of this, right? And all of them are related to Turtle Boy and like how it affects my personal life, kind of, and like the intersection of that and my mental health. And kind of like that, a couple things pushed me over the edge is this one guy I wrote about yesterday who got a restraining order, not only against me, but my wife, who did nothing wrong, like literally nothing, like had nothing to do with the blog. And then some idiot judge in Providence put a restraining order out against her because some lunatic went in there and made up a bunch of lies. And it's just like, now she has to go to court or I have to get a lawyer for it. It's just like, are you freaking kidding me? One thing on top of the other. It just never ends. And, you know, other things are going on and, you know, certain people just really getting under your skin and that you thought you could trust and whatnot. And, you know, it just piles on and just have a mental breakdown.
You get actual, you know, death threats, not make it up, pretend death threats. You get scary people threatening to come find you and know where you live. That doesn't help. I don't think that helps. But you said you were dealing with depression and seeing doctors or therapists. I'm going to guess, if I were your doctor, I'll pretend to be your doctor right now and you're on the couch, I would say, do you need this job? Do you need this life? I mean, you could do something else. You're smart. God knows you work hard. You're an experienced teacher. Wouldn't you be better off? Wouldn't your family be better off if you did something else and didn't have to deal with these people? Let's be honest. The people you deal with, the people you blog about are lunatics, are scary, dangerous people in many cases. And, you know, stalkers and screwed up people. That can't help your mental state at all. I mean, hell, they're as crazy as you are.
Yeah, but then I look at it, Jerry, and I see people like Tucker Carlson and stuff, and how do they do it? Like, I'm not the only controversial person out there that puts stuff out, and I look at it, and I'm like, there has to be a better way. There has to be a way that I can improve this in order to prevent these from happening. And I am learning, though, like that, like this guy who got the restraining order, you know what? I went and got one against him. He was contacting my wife's work a lot, threatening to show up to protest. And so part of the restraining order is he can't go near her work. And so I'm like, that's what I just need to start fighting back. And that was a big reason I kind of created the TB Daily News thing, to get away from all the name calling. I try not to do that as much because that's what really pisses people off, when you call them names and you mock them. Just stick to the facts. Like, I'm trying to do more blogs like the Rachel Rollins thing, because I think it's important.
Based on what you just said too, all these people that you're saying, you're kind of like, how does Tucker Carlson do it? Well, Tucker Carlson works for a company that sometimes backs him, right? They hire lawyers on his behalf. There's a complete support system around what he does. Mm-hmm. And I believe you're one of the toughest guys out there, and you have one of the strongest digital communities that I've ever seen that supports you, that you get involved with. But there's nothing, you know, you're still kind of in it alone, right? Like, you work from home.
I found out through this whole thing that I'm not alone. Like, because I have honestly one of the most rapidly supportive fan bases ever assembled on the internet. Like, I did a stream the other night on YouTube. I got more views than I've ever gotten. And just more importantly, there was like the messages that people were sending, you know, of support, like people that I, complete strangers who are reaching out, telling me their stories that, you know, they don't, like, I'm a stranger to them and they're still reaching out and they feel comfortable telling me this stuff. It's almost like we've built like this community of people who are just rational and like want to hear real talk, like real talk. Yeah. It's completely unfiltered.
I have no doubt you have a rabid, loyal following. You're still alone. You're still alone. If this guy comes after you or whoever, you know, we all know who they are. These stalkers, these activists, they come after you. There's only so much your fans could do. They could support you. Mm-hmm. But they come after your advertisers or your platform. You're still going to have a fight on your hands, and you don't have a team of lawyers. I mean, that's when I talk about radio and what I went through on the radio and how it all ended. I tell people that the one thing you need to be a successful talk radio person, whether it's sports or news or TV, you mentioned Tucker, to be on cable news and actually get to speak your mind and be honest. The most important thing is a boss who backs you. I had both. I had the ones, general managers and program directors who backed us, had our back, and then I had the cowards that rolled over and bent the knee to the mob. And I live with both. And when you're going to get harassed, you're going to get, especially now, because it's so easy to just scare up a mob with emails, with texts, and go after companies. We were talking about that before we started recording today, in that there's a group that goes after Tucker's advertisers. And, you know, I assume Hannity's and Laura Ingraham's and Greg Gutfeld's too, but mostly Tucker, they hate him. So last night, Tucker said on his show, definitively, George Floyd was not killed by the Minneapolis Police Department. He was not. He said he died of an overdose. Flat out. That set off the mob. They're going after Tucker. They harass his bosses. His bosses stand by him. They turn to his advertisers. His advertisers, some of them bow to the mob and roll over, and some don't. He's got some advertising, but not the big companies, because the corporations tend to cower when the mob, when Media Matters or Sleeping Giants go after them. But what they're doing now, and you know how this works, Turtle Boy, they're going after the cable companies. That's how Top Fox makes their money. I mean, it's like, I forget the numbers, like $800 million a year they get from cable providers to carry Fox News. That's how they make the Murdochs make their money. That's how Tucker makes his money. So they're going after them now. They're going after the cable providers. And it's despicable. And I just mentioned, I saw a Globie, Ben Volen, is saying, what about it, Xfinity? So a typical Globie.
So to answer your question, I mean, I get what you're saying.
Let me finish by pointing out what Ben Volen is doing.
Okay.
A football writer is encouraging cable providers to cut the cord with stations with hosts that he doesn't like. Typical Globie. They cannot win the argument. They cannot win in the arena of ideas. So they say, don't let him speak. Pull the plug on him. That's what the Globe does. If you ever thought the Globe was a journalistic entity, you should know better. They are cowards who do not want to debate you. They want to shut you up.
Correct.
That's what we deal with. That's what you deal with.
But this fight for me, I see what you're saying, but like that, you know, these people, Tucker has backing. He's going to get paid no matter what. They're going to stand behind him.
He's lost advertisers.
He's still, luckily, Uncle Mike Lindell is kind of probably paying for 50% of his salary. But with me, what I discovered years ago, because I was getting canceled before it was cool. I've had boycott campaigns since 2015. I gave up on local advertisers. If people want to advertise with me, it's like, it's pretty simple. Like, you're going to get harassed. They're going to give you fake reviews. If you can deal with that and not whine about it, then you're a fit for Turtle Boy. But I can't be holding your hand saying, like, every time you get a bad review or a fake, you know, it's not for everyone. And so what we realized, like, probably a couple of years ago, is that in order for people like me to exist, it has to be fan funded almost. Like, people need to, there needs to be a subscription, or what, like in the case of me, it's voluntary donations. Like, people don't have to donate. It's a free product, but they understand my fight because I talk about it. And the more you talk about it and put it all out there and the facts out there, people realize, like, they're not just attacking him. They're attacking me too. They're not allowing me to hear this. I'm willing to pay for this. I'm willing to throw a couple bucks a month to this cause to let this guy keep talking, because this is my fight too.
And I will say, I've said this before, you handle it beautifully. You do not, or I shouldn't say you do not, you did not let it get to you. I've seen it with other people I was on the air with, me, and it's maddening and it's frustrating. You get these scumbags that just lie and harass your advertisers and bombard your bosses. And at some point, as you know, when I got let go, the radio, the boss said, we can't handle this anymore. He won't let up. He said, he's costing us so much. We have no choice. We have to let you go. So they made a deal with one of the worst people in the world. We all know who I'm talking about. Just a vile human being. They made a deal. They got rid of me. They'd got rid of, essentially let my old partner go before that. They made a deal. He went away. I mean, all their revenue and all their ratings went away, but he went away, but they actually made a deal with them. And that's what my point was.
And they lost so much money over it.
But if you're working for someone like that, like I was working for, you have no shot. If you have a boss who backs you, you have a shot, because they'll have your back and they'll understand that they have to support you to survive. Or, you know, the fans, the listeners, whoever, they all bail. They have to support Tucker, even if he's got no ads, because he's bringing in a lot of money. You handled it at least until last week, I thought better than anyone. You would, I mean, PayPal, you know,
kicks out.
Which hurts.
It is wild.
You dig in more. You say, I'm going to find a new way.
Yeah. And you know what happened when PayPal banned me? I went and did a Facebook Live that day, and I got more donations than I've ever gotten in a day before because people are like, screw PayPal. Who the hell do you think you are to tell me who I can and cannot give money to? Your job is to be a medium to literally process cash. Shut the hell up and just process the cash, or else we'll do it to somebody else. We'll give it to Stripe. And if Stripe gives in, we'll find somebody else. You people can send me a freaking money order. We'll pass a boot around. Like, you cannot stop.
And you know what? And back to my original point about the resources that like a Fox News has is the strange part is like you have an ability to pivot very quickly to make your situation work when somebody screws you over like PayPal. Whereas when Ben Volen tweets at Xfinity to cancel Fox News, that is billions of dollars out the door for Fox News. That cancels them entirely.
Did they lose Xfinity?
No, they did.
No, he's trying. He's trying, yeah. Which to me is just so sleazy.
But you know what the thing about what people don't understand is like if WEEI had just said to Bob Murchison, screw off, and they put a united front on all three, the morning show, the mid-afternoon show, and the late show. If they just put a united front that made Bob Murchison the enemy of WEEI, they could have survived. Like, he would have stopped, because like once these people like Bob Murchison realize you don't care, you're not going to give in to them. And
do you think Rush Limbaugh to this day doesn't get the same activists sending emails to every advertiser? Right. And I'm not trying to downplay it. I'm just trying to say that happens. It goes on. Like, don't act like you're alone in this situation.
But you have to be strong. That's all. You have to say, well, first of all, most of these activists, they will lie. They will take everything out of context and lie. I've seen it. These email campaigns, they don't tell the truth. I mean, I'm sure they do it every day with Tucker, and they bombard his advertisers and his bosses with emails alleging he did this and that, and it's all explainable. I used to say that all the time. Let me talk to advertisers. I'll tell our side of the story. We can go meet with them, have lunch, and no. He'll go away. He'll go away. And he never did. He just kept coming, and that's the way it works. You know it. Turtle Boy, they're not happy until you are completely silenced. That's the left. It only comes from one side, by the way. If they don't like what you're doing, they don't refute you. They don't debate you. They try to shut you up
completely. And I would argue that like what you're suggesting with Bob Murchison and stuff, that's just them attacking you at work, right? And that's them trying to get you fired and stuff like that. With me, it's a completely different type of harassment because they realize after a while, oh crap, he doesn't need advertisers. He can do this on his own. So what are we going to do now? How can we do this? You know what we can do? We can try to destroy his family so that his family can pressure him to stop doing what he's doing. And it's that is their goal, is to get to my wife. One of my biggest fears is when my kids get older, you know, them going after them. That's going to be, it's a problem I'll cross when I get there, but they will go after them. This latest lunatic, he's got pictures of my two kids, who are 5 and 3, in his blog saying like Aiden Carney and his wife sexually do stuff to their kids and shit like that. Like, so that's hard for, I try not to give it attention because that's just what they want. But like, it's harder to explain that to your spouse, you know?
So did you think about just saying, I got to get out of this for the good of the family?
No, for the good of the family, my goal is to try to find a way to stop this because there has to be a solution. That's the way I look at this. I'm like, this is the United States of America. There has to be a solution for being able to speak freely and not have this happen.
I don't know. It's going to get worse. Obviously, you know, the America spoke on November 8th and they voted for cancel culture. They voted for this kind of tyrannical pro big media, big tech conglomeration that is going to legislate speech and put people like you and me, you know, under the boot, whether it's put them out of business or not. It's going to get worse. I'm afraid, Turtle Boy, it is going to get worse.
It is, but you know what, Jerry?
Here's the real sin. Here's the real crime, in my opinion. And I've said it before. You are a great journalist. You do journalism. You break stories. you know, you're much better at this by yourself than the whole Globe staff, Boston Globe staff combined. You break more stories than they do. And some people appreciate that, some don't. They're, what they want to do is get rid of one of the best journalists, one of the greatest story breakers, muckrakers out there. And that is not good for journalism. I mean, even if they disagree with you, you're a dogged reporter.
I mean, think of all the stories that have, like the Mass State Police story, you know, right. I've broken up a few of them and none of those would have come out. The Rachel Rollins story would have eventually, Live Boston had that, but I mean, I could come up with 10 or 15 stories that literally were out there and nobody was writing about them.
Right. Right. And they won't. I mean, they won't. Unfortunately, a lot of newspapers are dying. They're understaffed. And you know, the ones that have survived, you know, on the backs of Trump, like the New York Times, Washington Post, they don't do journalism anymore. Yeah. They're activists, as we've mentioned many, many times. Someone like you could break a story about a scandal in the Mass State Police by yourself. And these dark forces are trying to shut you up. In other words, they're aiding and abetting the corruption in the state government. And it's just so wrong. They could, you know, if they could just overlook the fact that, you know, you're kind of a wise ass and maybe you give someone some funny nickname, but you're breaking stories. You're doing journalism. And it's a scary thought to think that people like you or even, you know, Tucker or Laura or whatever are trying to not just be, you know, corrected, debated, to be shut up and eliminated. And then what? Then what do we have? I mean, it's
I mean, you got me thinking here, Jerry, about this, about like, you know, why would I want to put people through this? So like, I would argue that, it's because like, I am so addicted to liberty and freedom. And just as a study of history, I would honestly feel like I'm just John Adams and all these founding fathers literally signed the deck. When they signed the Declaration of Independence, they were saying like, there's a 90% chance I'm going to end up in a noose because of this. And they might kill my family too. But certain things are worth, like, what kind of life is that? We don't learn about people in history that don't take chances, that give in to mobs. And I'm not saying I'm like some historical figure, but I look up to those people and I admire them and I want to be like them.
Right.
And
I remember John Adams saying that he was going to try to expose more ratchets who were stealing welfare on Facebook. That was one of his things, right?
Big ratchet
selling food stamps on Facebook.
You know what I mean? Like Martin Luther King, literally, I'm not Martin Luther King, but he literally got killed for it and put his family out there. Should he have stopped to protect his family? No one would know who he is. And I'm not Martin Luther King, but I'm saying that these are the people we learn about in history that we're supposed to, you know, try to model ourselves after. None of them just give in to mobs. Those are the forgettable people. And I feel like what I'm doing out there is too important. There's too many people behind it. And I just need to find a balance in which I can continue doing this and not have it disrupt my home life.
Excellent. Well, now we know from John Adams to Martin Luther King to our friend named Turtle Boy. He's like a modern day freedom rider. And he's out there doing his best for us. You're doing it for us, right? You're doing it for your readers, for your viewers, and you're going to continue doing it, even though you're
doing it for my kids too, though, because like, I feel like I'm setting a good example for them, for showing them that like, you don't have to give in to these people. Right. It's okay to say what you want to say and not back down.
Well, I respect the Turtle Boy. I respect you and it would be easy to give in, just say it's the best thing for your mental health, for your family. But you know, this is good for us because you're going to, it's bad for the corrupt politicians out there or the people selling their food stamps on Facebook. Bad news for them because Turtle Boy is going nowhere. Did you know that Shea Concrete is the largest manufacturer of recon retaining wall systems in North America? Well, you do now. In fact, in 2020, Shea set a new company record when they manufactured 178,000 square feet of retaining wall. This is a testament to Shea's legendary teamwork from engineering to manufacturing to dispatch and delivery. As the guys at Shea like to say, teamwork makes the teamwork. They do. I've been around them when they say that. Shea Concrete's high-performing precast concrete retaining walls stand up to New England's active climate and come in a wide variety of shapes, designs, and textures to meet your retaining wall needs. So whether you need a residential, a commercial, or an industrial application, Shea has a dedicated team that will assist you with conceptual design, site walks, and installation. Let Shea show you the way. Call Shea Concrete at 800-696-SHEA. That's 800-696-SHEA. Or just log on to SHEAconcrete.com. We want to get to some more things today. Hang with us, Turtle Boy, because we're going to talk about Mark Cuban, Dallas Mavericks owner, the dumbest billionaire I know. He stopped playing the anthem for the first 10 or 12 games this season. It became big news when, you know, somebody noticed the Athletic broke it. And I think he made it much worse when he explained his side of it. We'll get to that. But Joe Kinsey is joining us now from Outkick. He wrote about it. Didn't break the story, but you expanded on it. And Joe, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you guys. Audio good? Everything all right?
Sounds good.
Good to see Turtle Boy, by the way.
Nice to meet you.
I've never met him, but this is great to be with you guys.
Likewise. Yes, Turtle Boy, as you may have heard, is kind of the modern day version of Martin Luther
King. Yeah, I caught that. I'm like, this is awesome. What a day. If Jerry, you're going to bring me on my first time, and Turtle Boy is Martin Luther King reincarnated. This is unbelievable. So thank you for having me.
That might be a little exaggeration, but he's the best reporter in New England, one of the best reporters in America. He didn't break Martin. He didn't break this Mark Cuban story either. I thought it was funny that the defense of Mark Cuban. Here's what the defenders, the Deadspins and the usual suspects say. They say, "Hey, they stopped playing the anthem and nobody noticed." Well, we don't know that nobody noticed, but there were no fans there anyway, and maybe some people noticed and just figured, that's okay. I don't care. It's not like everybody was going to, run kicking and screaming. They acted like this was some brave, courageous thing like that Cuban did. And it really wasn't. It really was just a dumb, tone-deaf thing. He said, I'm going to stop playing the anthem. And then when people found out, he buckled right away. He said, okay, we'll play it. I'm sorry.
Well, Jerry, he also wanted him. He said something about making this inclusive. He wanted an inclusive song. Like, what's going on? What song is inclusive that is not the national anthem? What do you want to play before the NBA games? I mean, come on. What name a song, Mark? Come on.
Was it written by a slave owner? Is that what the argument is?
We got to play it because it's so funny. I figured he would act like he was, fighting for whatever, social justice or racial justice or whatever, environment. He'd want to put on his best, Kaepernick act and act like this was some kind of bold, brave decision. But then he explained himself. Do we have this calling in to ESPN? Listen to what he said. Listen to why he said he wanted to stop. He said he didn't ban the anthem. He just stopped playing it.
And listening to the community, there were quite a few people that voiced their concerns or really their fears that the national anthem did not fully represent them, that their voices were not being heard. And so we've had a lot of conversations about whether or not we should play the anthem.
He goes on to say they had consternation. He mentioned fear. Fear and consternation that the national anthem, which has been played before games for more than 100 years. And he thought that was, a smart explanation that he talked to a lot of people who've had fear of the national anthem. I'm saying, you are an insane person. You're a billionaire and you know what you're doing in that field, but you're not that smart. If you think you should stop playing the anthem because people fear it, and that's going to, that's a logical explanation for what you did. And the guy's an idiot. Can I just be honest? The guy's an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, this is absurd that it even got to the level where Adam Silver has to tell him to play the national anthem. I mean, just play the anthem and do your press conferences about needing inclusive songs. Play an inclusive song at halftime, Jerry. Let's have an inclusive halftime show.
Mark Cuban is a perfect example of like what has gone wrong with millionaires in this country too. Like millionaires used to be billionaires, cigar smoking conservative guys like that. But now the most wealthy people in the country, all the corporations are the wokest. It's become like that's a thing. And like middle class America has been the backbone of conservatism. And now it's like literally the rich that are pushing all this liberal nonsense.
Who has fear of the national anthem? I mean, and who's instilled that in them?
New York Times.
Yeah, the New York fear of the national anthem. The national anthem should be unifying, at least until you know, that American hero Kaepernick came along, you stood, some people held their hand over their hearts, some people sang along. It lasts 1 minute and 59 seconds on average. At least that was the prop bet for the Super Bowl. Would it go over or under? So it's 2 minutes of quiet time. People stood unified. And this guy, this fool, says, oh, people had real consternation. About what? About what? The bombs blasting in the air? I mean, what is it they fear from the national anthem? You know what you should do if you're Mark Cuban, if you're a billionaire owner? You should say, too bad. There's nothing to fear. We're going to stand for the anthem. We're going to spend our 2 minutes quietly honoring the country. Instead, you know what they do? They try to be so open-minded, their brains fall out. And that's what happens here. He's trying to say, look at me. I care about the underappreciated, the underprivileged, the marginalized, whatever. I'm sort of like Kaepernick. I really care. I'm a social justice warrior.
Yeah, it's good for the street cred, Jerry. He needs it for the social woke resume. You know what I mean? Like, that goes far for his followers. And now, go ahead.
Consider this, Joe. Consider this. We know. You pointed out Adam Silver put him in his place, said, no, we're going to play the anthem. It's a rule. Everyone has to play the anthem. You can kneel if you want. And God knows, Cuban has already said he'll support anyone who kneels. But Adam Silver's, you know, to the right of you, trying to tell you to, you know.
And how about last night? They celebrate the Chinese New Year in Memphis with all sorts of Chinese signage.
I mean, what?
Yes. Wait, it's on OutKick. They have Chinese New Year signage all over the arena, and you have to see that. And how prophetic is it that all this comes out on the same day? It's just beautiful for the NBA.
It is amazing. I don't know if you heard Mark Cuban with Megyn Kelly a few weeks back, maybe 2 months now, and she just nailed him to the wall. She's a good interviewer. She was asking about China, you know, Chinese, and he admits, he says, you know, it's a billion-dollar market. I'm not going to give that up. And you're saying, you and people like, you know, Kaepernick or whoever, LeBron James, never miss an opportunity to bash your own country, to talk about injustice in your own country. And man, you just, you know, zip it when you're asked about concentration camps. They literally have concentration camps. Literally, the people making the Nike stuff and the Apple stuff are slaves. And people, cowards like Kaepernick and LeBron James and Mark Cuban, will say nothing. And they will celebrate the Chinese New Year. I didn't even know that. The hypocrisy is just so overwhelming with these guys.
Yeah, last night I saw the photos and I'm like, what is going on? You know, when you're bowing down to China so often and then bashing constantly, I mean, where's the give and take here? Like, LeBron, he can save schools in Akron and he can open this and open that. But, you know, why can't you speak out about anything in China? Like, there's nothing you'll say about China at all. And that just says he's terrified of China saying, we're going to cut off your money.
Oh, because he's scared of LeBron. LeBron will tell him that's ignorant. Remember Daryl Morey? Like, yeah. Obviously what he tweeted out. When they asked LeBron about it, he's like, well, he's just ignorant. Imagine being told you're ignorant by a guy who barely graduated from high school and hasn't been past page one of any book in his entire life. Like, that's it. But LeBron has clout on the internet.
Right.
It doesn't matter. So LeBron says you're bad news. You're bad news.
It's so revealing. I love the whole dichotomy here where you have, more and more we're learning about these concentration camps and the treatment of the Uyghur Muslims, and less you hear from freedom fighters like Kaepernick or LeBron or Cuban, and they are just so scared to say the wrong thing because they know one slip up could cost them multi-billion dollar market, and it's not going to go away. They better get used to it. China's not going to change and say, oh, we better, you know, we don't want the NBA fans to look down on us. We better behave. It's not going to go away. Mark Cuban better get used to this. But here's the thing, Joe and Turtle Boy, is the anthem is such a, it's just a simplistic, dumb thing to do. You know what we'll do? We'll stop playing the anthem and I'll look like a great social justice warrior. You know, especially in Texas, but you know that a large majority of fans of Americans would say, play the friggin' anthem. That doesn't do anything for me. It's not like you're marching because someone, you know, a cop just killed the guy. You know, there's no real, you know, central thing here where you're saying, let's all fight for that. Fight for what? You're just stopping to play the anthem. That's lazy. It's simplistic. It's stupid. And again, I know he's a billionaire, but it shows me that Mark Cuban ain't that bright.
I mean, like I said before, it's cool to be woke now. I feel like in another era, Mark Cuban would be a conservative guy. Isn't that, wasn't he a Republican for a while? Like, I just feel like
he always says like independent. And by the way, he was rumored to be.
Independent means Republican.
But. I think he has at times, but there's always that talk. I think they might've brought it up with Megyn Kelly that he could be the next Trump. He could be that billionaire kind of populist, you know, that people like, and, you know, rig plain talking. He's always wearing a t-shirt. He could never do what Trump did. He could never. He's not smart enough. He's not populist enough. A guy who bans the anthem, you think that plays as a populist in middle America, in Texas?
Nope. I doubt it.
No, I don't think it plays anywhere, even in some blue states. I don't think besides people trying to keep their woke card, that's the only way.
They're pushing these ideas that are not that popular in America. Like the Biden administration was defending yesterday the high school girls, like biological boys being able to compete against high school girls. They called it like human rights or something like that. Like, if you put a poll out of Americans, even liberals would be like probably 75% be like, no, it's a step too far, but they have to go along.
Didn't you think that when it became an issue with the Biden signed the executive order, I'm thinking, why didn't Trump bring that up ever? It's such a winning issue. I mean, Rand Paul was grilling the HHS secretary and he's saying, what planet are you from?
He was too busy reading John Bolton's book in Saturday Night Live. Like, you think about the time Trump wasted on stupid things nobody cares about that made him look ridiculous, when he could have been pushing for, like you said, things that everybody agrees with, and just focus on those, capitalize on those.
Hey, I want to get to this, Joe. Is the you mentioned Adam Silver saying, no, we're playing the anthem. Here's what I think Adam Silver's thinking. Is the summer league thing they had, that summer tournament, the ratings were in the toilet. You know that. They were too woke. They went overboard. They had Black Lives Matter on the court. They had the t-shirts, and I mean, LeBron leading the way, and it was just overwhelming kind of social justice theme for the NBA. And, you know, they took the Black Lives Matter off the court and they said, we're not going to do that anymore. So Adam Silver saying, we got to get away from that, or we're going to lose half our fans. And then Cuban kicks him in the nuts and says, you know, no anthem. Do you expect there will be a lot less? I mean, obviously they were well into the season, but this season we'll see a lot less social justice stuff from the NBA, because they saw what the effect was on their bottom line.
Well, it's like that 15 minutes of fame thing, Jerry, where they're hot for a while and then all of a sudden they disappear. Like, what about the equality on the back of jerseys? Duke puts it on the back of their jerseys. These NBA guys had it on their back of their jerseys. Now, I mean, who even cares about? No, you don't hear anybody complaining about, oh, we didn't have any equality on our jerseys. Right. So my thing is I think the NBA, they made their point last year or last summer, and now they're going to try to move on to make their money, bring back some of the fans they lost. I don't know how, but they're going to try. You know, they want to have an all-star game. LeBron says no. Adam Silver says yes, that's going to make us money. So I think that the NBA is definitely going to push back. They said it yesterday with the anthem. They're going to, you know, no woke signs on the courts. We're going to get moving. But there will be the little Chinese New Year thing here and there. And maybe who knows what the players still run the league right now, Jerry. We know they're in control. They control where they're going to play. They control what they're going to make. The NBA owners just sit there and take it.
You know what happened, Joe? There'll be another incident. There'll be, whether it's, you know, a cop shooting a guy, whether it's justified, probably, you know, chances are it'll be justified. It'll be like the one in Philadelphia where the guy's coming at the cop with a knife, and then they start protesting, if not looting. And then LeBron will feel obligated to get on board and wear a t-shirt and make a statement and take a knee, and they'll go through it all over again.
And what's a shame about that is yesterday Tom Brady has like one of the, you know, all-time great drunk days, and everybody's happy, everybody's fun. LeBron even says, man, I wish I could do that. Well, what's stopping you? go tie one on. Get a little loose. Let's get loose in 21, guys. Let's have a little fun.
Did LeBron really say he could
do that? Did he LeBron really said he wishes he could do that.
Well, he said because they had can't they wouldn't let him have the parade in L.A. He wanted to have the drunken parade moment, is what he said.
Yeah, well, then move to a free state, LeBron. You chose to be a communist.
Or throw your own, LeBron. Like, is Gavin Newsom going to arrest you for getting drunk on a parade float? Let's do it. Come on, guys.
I'm really disappointed in, like, the millionaires and the stuff like that not standing up to these tyrants. I thought they controlled the country.
He could at least tie one on at a taco bar. You know, he loves those tacos. Let's have some margaritas, guys.
Yeah, but he can't because he can't take his mask off. Or he'll get mask shamed by Deadspin. All right, before we let Phil go, you had a blog last night that made me laugh out loud. In fact, it reminded me of Turtle Boy. This is the kind of thing Turtle Boy does, or he used to do before he got, you know.
He got serious.
Yeah, got serious. Is right. Former New England Patriot Ryan Mallett is going through a pretty nasty divorce. Mm. And if you haven't seen this, I recommend it. Go to Outkick or go to Joe Kinsey. And he blogs about it. I couldn't stop looking at the pictures. I'm not joining his ex-wife's OnlyFans club, but
yeah.
I think a lot of people are. So Ryan Mallett always seemed like kind of a meathead.
Yeah.
I think that was confirmed when he married this chick. Was it during the lockdown?
It was, Jerry. So in 2019, they're dating. One thing leads to another. And during COVID, they get married. They start building a house, Jerry. And then they're like, you know what's good is let's get married while during COVID we're together all the time. That'll be a genius move. So Ryan Mallett gets married in June. He's divorced by October. By December, the new soon to be ex-wife is claiming that Mallett's cheating. There's drama. There's all these four months. Ryan Mallett's married to this woman. Now she wants her prenuptial money. He's in bad shape. Jerry, he's even fighting over the dogs. These two are fighting over the golden doodle in the relationship.
Well,
it's kind of like when I'm on your site looking at the pictures right now, it's like, that should be a red flag immediately. Any woman who's on social media constantly taking selfies that doesn't appear to be herself, like that's not the kind of chick you want to wifey, because that's a chick who's going to be constantly looking for attention and fame and use you for it. And that's shockingly, it didn't work out. But the sharpest tool in the shed either.
Isn't she making more money than he is with his OnlyFans?
I mean, Jerry, at $30 a pop, she's got like 1,700 followers. I mean, start doing the math.
After you were done, that number went way up because I'm telling you, you laid out all the pictures. She dresses like a Playboy bunny in one. She's almost naked. I mean, she's had some work done, clearly.
Jesus, he looks ridiculous. I'm telling
you, she's going to make some real money in the
future. What a move. What a move for her. I don't know if she's the one dropping all these hints about do a story. It could be her play to get out OnlyFans memberships.
But like, she couldn't. Why Ryan Mallett? You couldn't do better than a washed up guy who looks like he's like, I mean, he looks sickly in that picture.
Well, she's from Arkansas. You know, Arkansas is Arkansas. He's like the president of Arkansas at 32 years old. So
is that all he is?
Yeah, 32, Jerry. I looked it up. I did some reporting.
did you sign up for OnlyFans? You know, as a reporter.
I need to get a separate account. They won't accept PayPal. I gotta figure out. I'm a married man. I gotta be careful. But this is journalism. Like Turtle Boy knows, this is all about the journalism. You gotta study this stuff.
But here's the theme of the day, the story of the day. And I've said this many, many times, is what makes Tom Brady more than anything is good judgment. He's smart. There's a lot of, and he does the right things. He just always does the right thing, whether it's, you know, getting drunk at a boat parade and making sure he doesn't drive and then laughing about it, tweeting him, just always does the right thing. And then you have Ryan Mallett, his former teammate, who, by the way, is probably more talented or as talented as Brady, you know, in terms of arm strength and athletic ability. You have this moron, Ryan Mallett, who's flamed out already. How many teams was he on? Three or four?
Three or four.
Flames out, and then he marries what would you call her, an internet
model? OnlyFans star is what I call him nowadays. But
he marries an OnlyFans star, probably just because he had a full head of steam. He was aroused, and he said, let's get married. Marries her. Now she's trying to take him for what little money he has left.
Jerry, never these guys never marry the stripper. What are you thinking? Don't ever marry the stripper.
Or and not even just the stripper, like any chick who's on there that seems so self-absorbed, like looking at her pictures, it's just constant selfies, like constantly about her, constantly about that. A chick like that is only going to be thinking about herself and how she can use you to elevate herself, which she clearly did effectively.
Well, you ask yourself, would she be interested in me if I weren't, you know, Mr. Arkansas or a, NFL
president of Arkansas.
Yeah. Would she, if he were, you know, driving a truck, would she care about you, Ryan? I'm just going to make a guess and say not at all. And you'd be one of those OnlyFans guys at home with his hand down his pants, spending the $30. How much is it?
$30.
$30. I thought those were $5.
She must have known that the story is out there about her divorce, and she's striking while the iron, she's striking while it's hot.
Do you know how many clicks you get on your stories, on your various stories?
We can see that.
Now, how many is this going to get? Because I've already clicked on it like 6 times.
This is probably 500,000, really? At least. Yeah.
Yeah.
Turtle Boy, get on this. You know, we need a New England perspective on
stuff like this definitely sells. I mean, this is good stuff.
What's her name?
Tiffany Seely.
Tiffany Seely. Lovely Tiffany.
Lovely Tiffany.
If you want to read about former Patriot quarterback Ryan Mallett and how he's doing now, you can get on OutKick and read our guy Joe Kinsey's take on this, which he includes smartly lots and lots of pictures of Tiffany. And just think of this, if Ryan Mallett just stayed in shape and showed up to work on time and did his did his work, did his lifting, did his throwing, studying his he could be a backup quarterback in the NFL. Did you see the backup in Washington, Tyler Taylor, whatever it is,
Heineke.
Just signed for 2 years and $9 million.
Got the Matt Walsh deal. All you need is like one or two good games that they just remember as a backup and you can get anything.
They're paying quarterbacks $4 million a year, and Ryan Mallett doesn't have enough money to pay off his.
Ryan Mallett lost the quarterback competition to Brian Hoyer like 4 years ago on Hard Knocks in Houston. Right. That? Like that's Ryan Mallett. Okay, he's Brian Hoyer's backup.
You can read about Mark Cuban, and you can read about Ryan Mallett, and you can see pictures of the lovely Tiffany, whatever her name is, the former Tiffany Mallett. At OutKick, Joe Kinsey's got that all for you. We appreciate it, Joe. We'll do it again sometime.
Thanks, guys. Good to meet you, Turtle Boy.
All right, nice to meet you, Joe.
All right, guys. We'll see you.
That is Joe Kinsey from OutKick, and
good guy. He started following me on Twitter a while back, and we started communicating.
I read this, and I said this is very Turtle Boy-ish. At least before you got your lobotomy, and you were really, you know.
See that, Jerry? That's what's called professional networking, right there. Thanks to the power of social media. I would never have met you throughout Twitter. I would never have met Joe Kinsey throughout Twitter. It's why platform access should be a civil right, because people have, like, not only are you prohibiting speech, you're prohibiting like professional advancement and connections and building people like that. It connects.
Amazing. I mean, I was working 20 years ago at Sports Illustrated, or 25 years ago, no internet, you know, no cell phones, no anything, no Twitter. It was such a weird world, and people actually read Sports Illustrated. There were 3 million subscribers. Now there's like, 30,000. It's changed everything, and not all for the better, because as we know, ideology is the issue, and all big tech titans, the people in control are all radical lefties looking to crush the opposition. These are anti-free speech people. We talked about it with Shattuck yesterday, the New York Times guy that they forced out, the 67-year-old reporter. I mean, he just represented the old school. He was a reporter. He was, understood his job. He was a journalist. He was an old white guy, and they didn't like him. And so they essentially made up an offense, said that he used the N-word, which he did, but they didn't care about the context. They forced him to retire. They forced him to write a humiliating apology. And then they said, we're moving on. We are the woke mob. We don't care about journalism anymore. We need to take over the world, take over the levers of power. Now, it's a scary time. I'm glad to see you back, Turtle Boy. You look the same. I mean, you don't look, healthy or anything, but you look the same.
I don't look healthy or anything. That's good. Yeah. I mean, do I always look unhealthy?
You look a little,
I lost like 7 or 8 pounds. I told people this. I'm like, if you want to lose a couple of COVID weight, get a little depression. And you'll be better.
Sound advice, Turtle Boy, as always. Sound advice.
Have a mental health breakdown, and the weight will go away.
Was that essentially your issue? You were depressed.
depressed and anxiety. Anxiety. I never had anxiety like this before. Like, it takes over your body. You can't sleep. Like, it's crazy. It's like you're constantly on this like roller coaster ride, and I'm still on it. Like, every day I have my ups and my downs. But guess what? I'm not gonna like. I'm gonna get over this. I'm gonna defeat it. They can't shut me up, and I will never, ever, ever allow a single person out there to have any type of control over me and the things I say. I won't allow it. Too strong.
What will change? What have you changed?
Well, for starters, you know, an example, like, I'm in constant communication now with my wife's boss, like, for one, like, they're going to attack it. I need to talk to them and say, look, here's what I do for a living. She has nothing to do with this. Leave her alone, because they might get emails and like, here's how to handle it. So it's just about like mitigating and seeing what's happening. And one thing I'll never do is like, I'm too trusting, Jerry. That's one problem with me, is like, I've allowed people into the ship, if you will, like former bloggers and stuff like that, that have kind of sabotaged it from the inside, thought it was cool to poke around, and just like, I'm going to be much more careful about the type of people I allow anywhere near the reins of power.
I don't know what that means, because I didn't know you let anyone near the reins of power.
Oh, you didn't follow the Bristol thing last. I mean, I let a Trojan ratchet in, essentially. I had a blogger that was working for
a year.
And she was literally sabotaging the company from the inside. But, you know, there have been other people since then that have kind of tried to do the same thing. And you need to just cut ties with these people and get a little stricter about who you allow to, you know, really be around, who you trust.
Well, good. Good to hear. I was just kidding. You look good. You sound good. The medication's working. You're back. You're working. You're blogging.
I am blogging. I did one blog yesterday with about a douchebag from Dighton, and it kind of got me back. My blood's flowing and I'm ready to rock.
What would you do if you lived in New Jersey, if you were your home turf were, you know, the Jersey Shore, and the biggest story by far was Bruce's arrest? There's so many questions. Bruce Springsteen's arrest, when he, allegedly, you know, the Asbury Park newspaper, and I'm not sure how reliable they are. I don't know anything about them, but they report that he blew a .02, which means he wasn't drunk. He wasn't impaired, at least not from alcohol, and he got arrested for DUI. What would you do with that story? I mean, if you were down there and you are a dogged reporter, where should they go? How do we find out why an American icon got arrested for drunk driving when he clearly wasn't drunk?
So let's suppose the same thing happened in Falmouth or Cape Cod or something like that. I would put a sound out and I would say, I heard that there is something that happened. I heard there's more to the Bruce Springsteen story. If you know anything about this, anonymously, feel free to reach out to me. I would put a feeler out like that, because a cop would talk. A cop in this police department, off the record, as long as they were like guaranteed anonymity, they always talk. That's where I get a lot of my stuff from, is like cops that want stuff out there, but obviously they can't give it to the Globe or anything like that. And like, they always say, promise me anonymity. Of course, like, my brand is built on anonymity. So that, long story short, if I was a New Jersey blogger in that same situation, I would have built a trust and rapport with the police already, and somebody would have come forward.
If I gave you two choices, one is that he was a dick to the cops, so they busted him even though he wasn't drunk, or B, that he was on some kind of drug like Tiger Woods, some kind of painkiller back medication that made him appear impaired, made him flunk a field sobriety test, and they just added the one shot of tequila as part of the cocktail. Which is more likely? Those are the two theories that I heard on Twitter.
I think the second one, I think it's more likely that they are... that he probably had more in his system and they're just trying to cover up for his image a little bit. Doesn't that seem more likely?
Yeah, because he's 71. He's an amazing, you know, like a physical performer. He jumps around stage. He dives on things. I think he works out a lot. I'll bet you he's got a lot of aches and pains, and, you know, like, you know, professional golfers at that age, they're all taking all kind of pills and meds, and maybe like Tiger, maybe it just was a bad cocktail. We'll find out more. I think, don't we have to find out more? Can they bury this story? I don't know. Can they keep the police report out of the public domain?
Not forever.
No.
I mean, eventually, I mean, like I said, they just delay. Anytime you go into one of these local police departments, it's always some crotchety old lady working the desk. And like, so you want the report for this? I don't know. That might take a while. And they always come back, and you just have to keep getting pushy with these people. Of course, a lot of people are going to want the Bruce Springsteen report. So I assume they have some sort of plan. And eventually, like NBC or some media outlet like that, they have the resources to sue to get it as well. So
right. I was going
to
say,
It doesn't affect him. Like, what's the, just come out and say what happened if you're Bruce's team. It doesn't even impact him. He makes all his money, I'm sure, on concert sales. So nobody's not going to a Bruce Springsteen concert, no matter if he friggin' killed a person, to be honest with you. So yeah, he lost a, you know, he didn't even lose the Jeep deal. I'm sure the
Maybe he did. They may have a deal in the Bruce, I mean, with the Jeep, that is some kind of morals clause. If they have to pull it because somebody did, maybe.
Had a couple more dates, Bruce. Not a big deal.
But maybe not. Maybe you're right. I mean, he's a rock and roller. You know, he's supposed to be, you know, doing drugs or drinking. I mean, we used to say that, you know, my old partner, my sometimes friend would say he's managed to do it this long because he doesn't drink the way a lot of old rock and rollers did. He doesn't have substance use problems. He is good, you know, in good shape physically, so he can keep going.
Yep.
And in his biography, which I read last year, which is really good, called Born to Run, original title, but he really opens a vein and bleeds. He talks about his emotional and mental problems and his depression and his meds and his therapy. And he does a lot of tequila shots, more than I ever thought, like at shows, after shows. He likes his tequila. And maybe it was more than one shot. Maybe somehow the cops, I don't know, cut him some slack. He's written some anti-police things, but I'm going to guess a cop, if he's a Jersey Shore cop, he looks up to Bruce. I'm going to guess he would be more likely to give Bruce a break than he would be to, you know, cuff him around in the back of the cruiser. But yep, we will see. Hopefully someone down there is as dogged as Turtle Boy and gets the real story. But Turtle Boy, it is great to see you back. You look good. I was only kidding. You don't look that. Yeah, you look all right.
I'm all right.
You look tired, but we will be following you on TB Daily News. I almost said TB12. TBDailyNews.com is the blog. And what is the Twitter handle again?
@TB_Aiden. AIDAN.
@TB_Aiden. Support him.
Yeah, I feel like I should redo my handle. That's kind of a pain in the ass to say, isn't it? I feel like I need to catch your thing just so you can say it like this, you know?
Yes, and you'll be back.
I've created so many Twitter accounts, Jerry, that like I've run out of things. Like @RealTurtleBoy's gone. All the good ones are gone.
Don't change it until you get kicked off again.
I was going to say, just Colonnade's right. Just wait till they kick you off again, and then you'll have to change it. Yeah. But support him. If you support free speech, if you support the First Amendment, if you support the United States of America, you must support Turtle Boy. You can hate him if you want, but support him. That's the American way. He, you know, he's a good reporter. He'll get to the truth. And, you know, we can't be shutting people up. We just can't be. It's just wrong. Support Turtle Boy. Stop reading the Globe. That's my advice today. All right, Turtle Boy, thanks. We will do it again in a few days. Hopefully you'll be okay. We'll all be okay. And we will talk to you again soon, my friend. And thanks to DCU, thanks to Shea Concrete and Allied Paving, GovX, and thanks to Joe Kinsey from Outkick. Anything else, Cullinane?
I did see the Michael Irvin backing Tom Brady yesterday. What'd you think of that?
You know what? Irvin made a rare good point. Usually he's ranting and usually he's incoherent. But he said Brady was mic'd. I didn't even know Brady was mic'd.
Yeah.
Brady usually resists being mic'd, but he was mic'd. So we will know definitively what he said, or maybe we won't know, but we will know with most of what he said to Honey Badger, right?
I hope it's nothing, and Tom Brady just apologized to him for like hurting his feelings. You know what I mean? Yes,
there was a few F-bombs, so the bleep goes out, but I'm going to guess it. Irvin said it is proof that there was no racial slur, which we never thought there was, but we were suspecting. He said something over the line. That's what Honey Badger said, like some real bad words.
Yep.
It's all on tape.
We all know what he's implying.
Yes, we all know what he's implying. It's the only option. That's it. So
we said Monday we could be looking at an international incident. If what he's implying is true, if Brady
nobody will believe if he says that. Nobody will believe that. That's why he hasn't come out and said it, because nobody's going to believe that.
Yeah. What do you mean no one's going to believe it? You and nobody I won't
believe Tom Brady would ever say that word. You can maybe Mason Rudolph. You might convince five people because nobody knows who the hell Mason Rudolph is.
Have you ever read the Boston Globe? Have you ever read the New York Times? They wouldn't believe it.
Even they wouldn't believe it.
They would buy it. They would absolutely. You think Deadspin wouldn't believe it? Of course they would.
He was probably mic'd up the whole game. He can't afford to lie about this.
That's the whole point. Maybe we'll find out what he said. Maybe we'll find out what constitutes going over the line, according to Honey Badger. I'll be curious. But that's going to be good stuff. We've already seen a little tease of him with Gronk and him with his other teammates. wired guys wired up at the Super Bowl when they finally win the Super Bowl. I'm a sucker for that. It's great kind of emotional stuff. So I'll be looking for that on, I assume, on NFL Network. Is that where we'll see it?
I'm sure. Yeah, NFL Films something, I'm sure.
All right, we will check that out.
I got to head out. Bye, guys.
Later. All right,
good luck, Turtle Boy. What'd you think, Cullinan? You think Turtle Boy is okay now?
I think he's okay. I think he's all right. I think he's, you know, it's a
publicity stunt. Is that what it was?
No, it is not a publicity stunt. He's working through his shit. He's getting help, and he seems clear. He's clear. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes, but he seems good.
He seems the same. You know, he seems the same. And I know he had a tough time. His family had a tough time. I couldn't handle it if my family, kids are being threatened. That's clearly over the line. I would be pretty stressed out myself. And he sounds like he's got it under control. And I'm glad he's not stepping away, at least, you know, not permanently, because we need him. We need him on that wall. We need Turtle Boy out there fighting the good fight for free speech, for American values. Support him. Support our guy Turtle Boy and support us. We appreciate it. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is the Callahan Podcast, and we will talk to you again real soon.
Why am I stopping? No one else stops.
Can I go home?
The Jerry Callahan Podcast.